Welcome to the GAIN Service Academy Admission Podcast. In these episodes, we will explore all things related to gaining a coveted appointment to the Air Force Academy, Naval Academy, and West Point. And here are your hosts, Rob Kirkland and Trish Penroth. Welcome to another episode of our podcast interviews. They're just so important to the overall determination of whether people get into West Point.
Really excited to go over some examples of interview answers to some of the most common questions that you'll see in your West Point Field Force Officer interview.
We've been wanting to do this for quite some time. This gives you a look at how officers that are evaluating you, what impression they're getting of you through your answer. We hope it's beneficial for you.
Sir, do interviews matter for West Point?
You're required to be interviewed by the field force. So the field force member lives in your area. You don't necessarily have to be a West Point graduate, but a lot of them are. They'll interview you during your time during the process. And that interview is then put into your file that's looked at by West Point. Now, the interview is not part of the whole candidate score, but it is kind of an additional item that West Point looks at in order to determine whether or not they're going to admit you. There's also interviews that could be done. If you go to the summer leadership experience at West Point, you'll be interviewed by a cadet there, and that goes into your file. Or if you visit the military academy and with admissions, you'll be interviewed by admissions, and that will go into your file also. There's a number of touch points where you could be interviewed, but at a minimum, you're going to be interviewed by the field force, and it's certainly going to be one of the things, in addition to the whole candidate score, that is going to be determined whether or not you're admitted.
Really important and such a critical factor, especially for students who've never encountered an interview before.
Absolutely. And the thing is, it's something you can get better at if you practice. We've seen a lot of improvement with candidates who really take the time to practice.
There are some really good rules of thumb to look at before we jump into these. The first rule of thumb is to always use your customs and courtesies. So even if you don't have a military background, now's the perfect time to start just using sir and ma'am and being respectful. Any other rules of thumb, sir?
Let me just pile on that one for a second. What you're doing is you're sending a signal to the person you're interviewing that my plan is to become a cadet. I am going to become a future officer in the United States Army. So therefore, I'm going to give you the respect that you deserve. It's almost like you're projecting yourself into the future as a cadet. So using sir or ma'am, it makes a huge difference. You got to practice that. A lot of people just aren't used to saying sir or ma'am. And you generally don't have to say it every single sentence. You should say it generally at the beginning of any sort of conversation you have with that individual. I'd say the other tip would be using real world examples and to tell a story. I like to think of a story that you can tell in about 3 minutes. And this should be a story that you can tell that you don't need to have note cards. It's a lived experience that you've had.
Showcase your knowledge of West Point and your knowledge of what you've learned about what it's like to be an Army officer. Don't just speak in generalizations. Talk about what you've learned specifically about West Point. What careers are you interested in? What kind of educational path are you interested in pursuing at West Point? What branch do you want to go into in the Army? All of those are really good things to know. And having actual conversations with West Point cadets, graduates, Army officers, Army NCOs, all of that is really going to help you understand what you're about to embark on.
And I have people who I've interviewed in the past when I was doing this that couldn't tell me one thing about the Army. The final thing would be the Army core values, which was loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. It's the acronym is LEADERSHIP, doesn't completely spell leadership, but it's close, LEADERSHIP. And really, the embodiment of the values that the Army holds. If you can, in your answers, embody some of these core values and even talk about them verbatim, even say one of the Army core values is selfless service. And then you talk about an example of when you are a selfless servant. That's going to show one is that you know about the Army values. And second is that you're embodying them in your life. So that's going to make a significant impression on the person interviewing.
We are going to ask the question, as though it's a real interview and then play the response. And then we'll give our feedback as to what we think about the interview. So let's go ahead and get started. Why do you want to attend West Point?
Ma'am, I've always looked up to my grandpa who served in World War II, and his stories about his service and dedication have inspired me since I was little. He taught me about the Army's core values. He really modeled duty and personal courage. I grew up seeing these values in action through him, and it's made me want to follow in his footsteps and serve my country too. Why West Point specifically? Well, for starters, I've always had this dream of pushing myself to the limit. And West Point is known for doing just that, challenging you academically, physically, and mentally. It's not just any college. It's a place where I can grow into the leader I aspire to be, surrounded by others who are just as committed to serving and protecting our nation. I've also been super into building and creating things since I was a kid, playing with Legos, then moving on to robotics in high school. That's why I want to study engineering. West Point has an incredible engineering program, and I believe it can set me on the right path to one day joining the Army Corps of Engineers. I mean, how cool would it be to apply engineering solutions to support our country's military and civilian needs? Attending West Point means more to me than just getting a top-notch education and leadership training. It's about becoming part of a legacy that dates back to my grandpa's time and even before. It's about stepping into a line of people who've made real sacrifices for our country, and I want to carry that forward. My grandpa always said that the service is about being part of something bigger than yourself, and I truly believe that. I'm also looking forward to the camaraderie at West Point. I've heard that the bonds you form there are for life, and that's something I'm really excited about. I want to be in an environment where everyone is pushing each other to be better, where we're all working towards the same goal of serving our country with honor. So yeah, that's why I want to go to West Point. It's about honoring my grandpa's legacy, fulfilling my passion for engineering, and preparing myself to serve my country as best as I can. It's a big dream of mine, and I'm ready to work hard to make it a reality.
So what do you think this candidate did well, sir?
I think it's a solid answer. Right in the middle, not way above average, but not below average. I'd say the positives are he talks about the legacy of his grandfather. That's something that's important to him and something he wants to carry forward. He certainly told a story about what he wants to do with engineering and then what he would like to do afterwards. And I think the length is good. I mean, it's right around 3 minutes or maybe a little bit less. 3 minutes is about the max you want to do. If you do anything more than 3 minutes, you're going to lose people. What do you think, Trish?
I agree. I like that he told a story and he made it personal. But I think that there is some room for improvement here. And the biggest room for improvement is this candidate. They're talking about things that are exciting, but I just don't feel the passion and the excitement in their delivery. Mm-hmm. He could be a little bit more excited about this amazing opportunity than he's about to embark upon. And I'm also not sure that he really answered why the Army over other service academies, right? It's why the Army, why a service academy, but also why do you want to be a leader too? And I don't think that he really addressed the leadership aspect there as much as he could have.
There's a lot of kind of me. There's nothing really specific about the Army in there. You could do engineering at the Naval Academy. You could do engineering someplace else. Nothing that would indicate to me that he's done any research about the Army or what he wants to do in the Army or why he's fired up, what he sees himself doing in the future.
He did mention the Army Corps of Engineers, but he could have gone in a lot more detail about how he spoke to an Army captain who's in the Army Corps of Engineers, and this is the project that he was working on, and this is what he learned. He could go into a lot more detail about that.
Yeah, definitely. The more that you can talk about the Army values and the honor that you have in leading America's soldiers, and certainly, like you said, giving an example of who he's talked to or what he's learned outside of his grandfather.
If we had to grade this response out of 10, sir, what would you give it?
I like the answer. He didn't hit it out of the ballpark. 5, I'm going to say, is average. 10 is like perfect. I would give it a 6.
I was going to say 6 or 7. So we're right there.
Okay. It's a little bit above average, but it could be better.
Definitely. All right. Let's move on to question 2.
Describe a setback or failure you experienced. How did you resolve it? And what did you learn from it?
Sir, I've had plenty of them, but One of the ones that I think I will never forget about is when I was in middle school. I was on a little league baseball team. And at that time, baseball was my life. I've been doing it for over 10 years. Always did baseball in the regular school year and in summer. But I, about three games into my season in middle school, I made a big mistake. I was playing pickleball, and I saw other people playing pickleball with a tennis ball, and I thought, oh, I want to play, right? And I wasn't thinking. And I threw a ball as hard as I could into a wall, and with my arm, doing practices and baseballs, I was used to a heavier object like a baseball. And when you switch to a lighter ball, and you use the same amount of pressure, it's not going to end well, and it didn't end well for my arm. I knew immediately when I injured it, I couldn't even lift it. It was stuck there. It was a constant throbbing for almost a week. I couldn't move it up past my chest without feeling pain. And so I really had to think about this, right? I talked with my dad, who was really big on baseball with me, and I told him, hey, I really messed up. I made a mistake. I wasn't thinking. What do I do? And so he told me that he really couldn't tell me. I really had to make a decision. Am I going to stop playing baseball, or am I going to try to rehab this? And I'm not saying that this is the worst injury I've ever had. I just really couldn't throw with it, but I made a decision. I decided I knew I couldn't throw, but I could throw with my left. So what I did is I couldn't bat, but I could play left field. So I decided that in the future games, I would be playing left field, and I switched gloves, and I threw lefty, and it was rough, but I got through it. I got to stay as a part of a team, and I think that was big. And I also had to learn how to take responsibility every morning. I had to ice it and do stretches because I really wanted to get back out there on the field at 100%. It really taught me a lot. It taught me that, hey, regardless of the situation, there's always something you can do. There's always a possibility. And even if I couldn't play left field, I knew I could still be out there with my team and I could still learn from them and watch and be a supporter. And I think through that, I've learned what it means to be tough. It's thinking outside of the box and continuing to pursue what you want to do.
All right, Trish, what do you think positives with this answer here?
Sir, I could visualize the story. I could see his arm being injured. You could definitely tell that he feels like he still wanted to be there for the team. And he wanted to support his team as much as he possibly could. How this is going to help him be a better cadet in his unit, in his ROTC unit or at West Point. What are some challenges that could arise when he's a cadet that this would apply to? So I really did like the fact that he brought up the team. He was there for his team. But there's some really good Army Corps values that he could have specifically mentioned. And he didn't.
So I agree with you, Trish, on this. So the positives was certainly the story. When I talk to candidates and coach them, I tell them, don't talk about middle school. There's just not a lot of applicability to being a senior in high school. If I was working with this candidate, I would tell them, don't even mention that you were in middle school. So I think that would be something I would cut out. He's got to, at the end, talk about the Army values in some sort of way or talk about how this experience can be applied to whatever he's going to face in the future in the Army or in school or whatever, wherever. Trish, what do you think as far as a score for this one?
I would say 6 out of 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. I think I would give it a 6. Maybe I would even go a 7, high 6 on this one. I think he's got a great base there. And with a little bit of just pushing towards talking about the Army a little bit more, I think that could certainly go into the 8s or 9s, certainly. Let me go on to the next one here, which is, tell me about a time you faced an ethical dilemma. What happened and what did you learn from the experience?
A time I faced an ethical dilemma was when one of my friends started to go down a bad path. Integrity is really important to me. I believe it is having a strong moral and ethical code and being able to follow that and stay consistent with your beliefs through any sort of circumstance, whether it's an easy time or a very hard time, and a time where I had to do that. One of my best friends at the beginning of high school, he was starting to go down the wrong path, starting to do a lot of partying and drugs and alcohol and things like that. I could have just let him do his thing, but I felt it was my duty to try and help him. So I tried to hang out with him. I got him to join DECA, which is a business club at our school sophomore year, and he really enjoyed it. So me and him were like in a group together, and I got to hang out with him a lot. And I think I thought that he was happier with everything going on and sort of finding his purpose a little bit. However, after sophomore year, when COVID came, I tried to reach out to him a couple times and he just started to ignore me. And I started to see on like social media and stuff that he was sort of starting to go back to what he used to be doing. And I told him, I said, hey, that's not a good idea. I really think you should try to stay involved in DECA because he wasn't thinking about doing it the next year. And then I heard that he had been drinking and driving a good amount. So I talked to him. I said, hey, can we meet? And we met and had lunch. And I talked to him and I said that that is a terrible thing to do. And that I really need you to be with me for this next year, for DECA, to so that we can hang out and get involved and like a marketing plan and spend our time doing that on stuff that could, you know, help us for our future. And he said that, yeah, I'd be willing to do that. But then after that, he again just left me. He ghosted me, I guess. He stopped messaging me. I tried to meet with him a couple more times to tell him that, to try to help him out. I talked to some of the teachers because he was a DECA officer for the beginning of junior year, but he stopped showing up to class. And the teacher was thinking about kicking him out. So I talked to the teacher and she talked to him, but he still just kept going down this path. And even though I spent 2 years trying to help him and be a good friend and try to lead him down the right path, it ended up not being successful. Still, I learned that you can't give up on people. I know I'll encounter situations as an Army officer where I need to lead by example and help those I'm leading. And it's my duty to help them as best I can.
What do you think? What's your impression of this individual?
Man, what a story. That's a great story. That's a true friend. That's somebody who's very selfless, who cares about others. And he could have stood by and not done anything, but he again and again reached out to this person and tried to help him. So I just think that's a fantastic answer. I think he did a really good job at the end too of relating it to his future as an Army officer. He's going to have to lead by example as an Army officer, whether it's for his peers, his fellow junior officers, or for his enlisted or his warrant officers. He needs to set the standard and he needs to do the right thing and act with integrity. So overall, great answer. What did you think, sir?
Yeah, I love that answer. You feel inspired by this individual. You feel like this individual cares about others, that it's a person that you would want. The person who's listening to this is saying to themselves, is this a person that I would want to have my son or daughter be the leader of? Is this a person that I would want to have be a lieutenant or an ensign in, you know, whatever, in my unit? Is this a person that cares for other people? With this person, you just feel like this is a person that I want. He just has something that the average candidate doesn't have. It's just there's a depth to that, this answer that inspires you. Even though he didn't mention anything about the Army values, it's almost like you feel the Army values emanating from this individual. I think he knocked it out of the park. I mean, nine.
9 out of 10, for sure. The only way it could be better is if he brought in the core values of duty, personal courage, integrity, honor. But you're right. You can feel it emanating from him. So he did a great job.
Another question is, tell me about a time you led others in a project or goal. How did you organize your efforts? And how will that make you a better leader going forward?
Yes, sir. I think my main extracurricular throughout high school has been yearbook. It's definitely been my biggest leadership role because basically you have a committee of people and at the end of the year you want to create a book. But I think there's a lot of layers underneath that. I think there's a lot of pressure because obviously the yearbook is something that people are going to see for the rest of their lives. And it's something that a lot of people don't realize. There's a lot of intricacies. I'm communicating with publishers and not just communicating with your members, but also communicating with your adult advisors and the teachers who are helping you out. I think that the whole situation has really taught me a lot, and it's taught me good communication skills because at my school, which is a 6th through 12th grade school, I talk to the littlest of 6th graders and the educators, and they all have different ways of communicating what they want to you. But I think I've definitely learned how to interpret different modes of communication. I've definitely gotten better at changing the way I speak to help the other person understand more. So I think I'm very good at communicating with different people. I also think a big part of yearbook is organization because you need to be organized in order to complete a deadline. And the other one is just completing deadlines and making sure that you're always ready. Because the thing with yearbook is we have 3 major deadlines. And if you don't get your book in by then, by the final deadline, then it's not going to be ready to print. I'm very good at keeping organized, being able to communicate with everyone, and meeting the deadlines that I need to. And I think this all these skills really set me up to be an amazing leader in ROTC. I've learned is that I need to be a good leader in order to make a good yearbook. It's all about the leader showing people how they can act in order to create a more of stable environment, especially for something as intricate as yearbook. I still have a lot more to learn as a leader, But I think I channel a lot of the Army values, especially with a group as big as like 50 people, which is what yearbook is.
I really love the answer. There's just a couple of little tiny areas like crowning yourself an amazing leader. I mean, I don't think I crown myself an amazing leader even now. I mean, what you want to do is you want to avoid the inflating your own ego, and you always want to be a person who's modest. Take out the amazing leader that you're the next George Patton. But I really like the overall tone of it, where he goes into the complexity about the yearbook, about all the moving parts of it.
I really like the aspect of focusing on communication. Mm-hmm. That's definitely a critical component of leadership too. And as you said, crowning yourself an amazing leader, there needs to be a little bit more humility there. And just a little bit more humility. But otherwise, I would say 7 out of 10. I really like that answer.
Yeah, I'd say I agree with you. I'd say it's 7, 7.5. It shows you that even you can have a great answer like that, but if you say like some things like amazing leader or something like that, you can deflate the answer a little bit. We talk about the Army value of selfless service. One of the ways I think he could have maybe improved a little bit there was to give credit to other people in there. He could have said, even though I organize these people, I had a great photographer with Jim, who's a fantastic photographer, and I had Jane, who did the layout. Our advisor, Mr. Smith, was always supportive. You can always talk about yourself, but you can always talk also about other people you worked with who just made a difference. And I don't think you can ever go wrong. If you can bring a few other people in there and give them credit, I think that makes it even a stronger answer.
Completely agree. 100%.
So good. I'm actually looking forward to doing this with Navy and Air Force. It'll be interesting to see kind of the differences between the services too.
A lot of students are applying to multiple academies, multiple ROTC scholarships. So being able to pivot from Army to Air Force to Navy is really, really important.
You've just witnessed firsthand the challenging questions and critical thinking required for success in all of your West Point interviews. These were just a glimpse of what to expect. Lieutenant Colonel Kirkland and I invite you to dive deeper with our West Point Field Force Officer and Congressional Nomination interview course at Gaines Service Academy Admission. Our course provides you with in-depth instruction featuring dozens of real-world answers from current cadets and personal guidance on how to navigate your interview confidently. We wish you the best in your pursuit of a West Point appointment.
You've reached the end of another episode of the Gaines Service Academy Admission Podcast. Connect with us at GainesServiceAcademyAdmission.com. Love this episode of the podcast? Head over to iTunes, Spotify, or whatever podcast app you listen to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It's very much appreciated. Thank you.